$1,000.
All right, Bob, a closing comment?
Well, I think it's really interesting to look into, and I guess what I wanted to say was that I understand, and I talked to the food stamp people last year about this, that the new figure for disabled, you know, is about $700 a month, and that's still way under the high limit. So, you know, the eligibility is there, but, yeah. But the state mandate doesn't make it there. So.
Unfortunately, across the country, you have to be quite poor to be on the food stamp program.
What is it? What's the income cutoff?
Well, it depends on
how many children
on how many children and your household size and what your expenses are and that sort of thing. But you really do have to be very poor. You can't be above 130% of the poverty level,
which is under $10,000 for a family of
four.
Four. All right, thank you. We have an open line now. Marion Standish is with us, Executive Director, California Rural Legal Assistance Foundation. She's a lawyer, member of the Mayor's Council on Food and Hunger. We'll talk about some of the different programs. One program doesn't even require a vote at the ballot box. It could be implemented by state administration. We'll talk about that in our next half hour, and we'll take your calls. Our toll-free number, 800-228-5227. Hopefully someone who's on the food stamp program will tell us how it works. I'd like to hear from you. 800-228-KCBS. It's 8:30 at the news station.
You're listening to Nightbeat with Robert McCormick on News 74 KCBS. If you have a question or comment, 800-228-5227. That's 800-228-KCBS.
Marion Standish is here. We're talking about the food problem, the hunger problem in California. Also, something that's getting a lot of attention, and that is the proliferation of people who are asking for money. I mean, it's something new. We've seen it in big cities for years. Some cities, by the way, have become aggressive in dealing with it. Seattle, by the way, has actually moved to ban some forms of this panhandling, as they call it. The mayor of New York City, Koch, has made some very inflammatory statements saying that these people are, many of them are con artists or are dopers and do not deserve your money. And in San Francisco, we're seeing more of it, too. And you mentioned, Marion, that you felt that perhaps the unemployment figures are a little deceiving. Maybe the homeless, some of these people are certainly definitely homeless. But I know that one comment, and certainly in Los Angeles, I heard some officials there in this week saying that they feel that the crack cocaine has caused people to become more aggressive in this panhandling, that these, you know, people, all they need is $5, you know, for that high. And they can get that maybe in an hour or so or less.
Well, I'm certainly no expert on the crack cocaine problem, but it seems to me that, again, we need to treat the problem and not the symptom of the problem, which is people on the street. We need to treat drug addiction as a disease, and we need to look at it in that way. We need to look for jobs for people. Even with our new minimum wage, which is $4.25 an hour, went into effect this summer, people who earn that amount of money and work full time are barely able to get by. We know the rents in San Francisco, as throughout the Bay Area, are very, very high. People have a hard time getting by, and they need food assistance in order to do that.
By the way, Food Charities gave out 137 million pounds of food in California last year. Many say that there's such a demand or a run on it that, well, at St. Anthony's Dining Hall, there's a line around the block every day.
And I'm sure if you notice that the line is not necessarily only single men, but there are a lot of families, there are a lot of women with children who are also in trouble. There are not a lot of elderly people who need help. It really cuts across all sectors. And I think we need to look at the root causes of the problem and start to treat them rather than just treat the symptoms of the problem.
Well, I know, but that's said so often, and let's just feed these people, all right?
Well, it's interesting because in the United States, one of the quite wonderful things that we have in place is we have a system of federally funded food programs that address people's needs almost from birth to death, and it is remarkable in the industrialized societies that we have that sort of system. And the only problem with it right now is it's dramatically underfunded. And if we had the political will to do so, I think that we could address much of the hunger problem in this country with existing programs.
Where do these almost $2 million worth of food stamps go?
They go to people who need them.
Well, but you say those that are unused. That money is available.
That's absolutely right. The food stamp program is an entitlement program, which means that anyone that applies for it and is eligible will get benefits.
And if it's not used, the federal government just keeps the money.
That's right.
It doesn't
right.
roll over into next year or into some other kind of program.
And interestingly enough, since 1981, the food stamp program has been cut perhaps over $6 billion. And that number of people... has been cut off the food stamp program, which is another reason that we see such an increase in people on the street and looking for emergency food, because the federal programs that they've come to rely on and have become such a critical element in the survival mode for low-wage earners have been cut.
All right, let's take some calls. Matt in Walnut Creek, you're on KCBS. Good evening, Matt.
Hi there, how you doing?
Fine.
Recently, I believe it was just in the city of Berkeley, one of the various and sundry programs started giving out cards to the homeless with all the names and addresses of the various food programs around. And the reason I bring this up is because I certainly don't condemn it. I'm all for it. But a panhandler gave me a card saying, "Can you spare any change? I'm a polite panhandler." Flip side says, "I can't eat printed cards. Stores and businesses won't take them. Why should I?" Which, to me, is a rather eloquent way of pointing out exactly how the homeless feel about the whole situation. So I just wanted to throw that in for what
yeah. Well, there was a one story I had heard, and this was not in the city, or in a Bay Area city, where they have a certain way in which they can get into a car or come right up to the car and will throw on, this happens in New York, they'll wash your windshield and throw some sloppy water on your windshield and wash it off and expect to be paid. And for those who did not cough up some change, they get the once in a while get their windshield cracked. Well, there's various tactics, and we've all seen them all, and we've
right.
heard the hard. Some of us cannot pass up a panhandle, even not even thinking, not even looking twice to see, well, does this person really need it, you suppose?
Well, I think that many of us pass a panhandle and we'll say, "There but for fortune go
yeah.
you or I." And I think it's an
guilt,
indication. I wouldn't exactly say it's guilt. I think it's an indication of the great degree of compassion that most people in this country have towards those with less. And I think it's a very strong statement about the society that we live in. I think we need to take it a several steps further, frankly, because giving somebody a quarter or 50 cents is really not going to make any difference in their lives, and getting them a job that pays an adequate wage or a place to live might change their lives.
All right. Thanks, Beth. Here's Marianne in Oakland on KCBS. Marianne, how you doing?
God bless you. I'm certainly appreciative to have this opportunity. Listening to the talk show about the homeless, it's just right at the tip of my work that I do. They call Mother Right here in Oakland, feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. Coming up this year will be 8 years that the Lord spoke to me in 1980 in the middle of the night and said, "Feed the hungry." So I cook the food in my kitchen and I transport it to the park. And we feed the whole hungry with dignity. And we have so many. And my goal is to get a shelter for the mothers and babies. And I'm hoping that I might qualify to get some money to do just the things that we're trying to do here in Oakland. We feed in the park. Every Saturday, I don't miss a holiday. Christmas Day, Thanksgiving Day, New Year's Day.
So you take the money then the food right to the park?
I take the food right to the park.
Yeah.
And we, Clorox just presented me with the van for the work that we are doing here with the paint slip. And the Lord is blessing, but I tell you, sometimes for 3 days I don't pull my clothes off. The need here is so great. Now, we know it, the homeless and hunger is all over the country now. And I really need some support to do something to help the people. Now, everybody's not bums and drunks and winos and dope addicts. Their men have worked on their jobs for 25 and 30 years and have lost their home, families, and everything. And they have every skill that you can name and with all kinds of degrees in the park. And they just can't get a job now. And we're doing what we can to support them.
Well, listen, thank you very much, Marion. Is there anything we can do for you?
Yes, sir.
What's
I just
that?
Need, my goal is to get a building, and I just need some money.
All right, people in Oakland, you hear that.
Good luck, Marianne.
Well, thank you, my darling. I'm so happy to have this opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Great. Marianne mentioned getting a shelter for women and children, and I thought it might be an opportune time to mention a program that I'm working on right now that is a very exciting opportunity in California, and that is an opportunity to expand the Special Supplemental Food Program for Women, Infants, and Children, which provides specific targeted nutritious food for low-income pregnant women, infants, and their children. And we have an opportunity in California to bring $40 million new dollars into that program, which is, again, non-general fund, non-tax money, by a simple system of bidding for infant formula. And it's a decision that the state administration is going to be making in the next few days. And if anybody is interested or would like to support this measure, they can write the governor, Governor Duke Majan, and ask him to support cost containment for infant formula in the WIC program.
Now, what is this all about? Why would that help? Cost containment in infant formula?
Infant formula is one of the most expensive items in the WIC, which is the program, food package. And the food package goes to high-risk, medically identified pregnant women, infants, and children up to the age of 5 years old. And so it is a highly targeted and highly successful program in preventing low birth weight babies and infant mortality in the nation. And it is one of the most successful food programs that we have. Yet in California, it's severely underfunded, and we're only able to serve it at 23% of the potentially eligible women, infants, and children.
So the governor's going to be making a decision on this?
On whether or not to bid for infant formula. It's a good business approach to federal food programs here. We have three infant formula companies that provide the formula for this program. And if we ask them to submit a bid, we have the potential to save $40 million and expand the program dramatically within months. By not doing it, interestingly enough, we're losing about $100,000 a day in critical food for low-income women, infants, and children. So if anyone's interested, they should write the governor and ask him to support the WIC program and cost-containment measures.
That?
WIC?
Yeah.
It's W period I period C period.
All right. That's how you refer to it. Thank you. Tony in San Francisco on KCBS. How you doing?
All right.
You're on Nightbeat with Marianne Standish.
Yes, Sam. I heard you talking about how desperate people can get, you know, by washing windows in the car sometimes, different desperate acts like that to get money. Well, you know, like in Brazil and South America, it's even worse, you know. Young kids and young adults, you know, rush to tables where people are eating at restaurants, you know. It's not getting that way here.
Well, they tug at you walking down the street. The kids come up to you and, you know, just kind of grab a hold of your leg. And...
you know, it's getting desperate. My question is, the speaker said that the food stamps come out to about 44 cents a meal. You know, a guy who's panhandling, he can at least make 50 cents an hour so he can cover his three meals and then some change. You know, and it's still degrading. My question is, a lot of these people are also Vietnam veterans. And, a large percentage of these guys are out there, you know, and I know it bothers them. I'm a Vietnam veteran myself, and I know it bothers them to have to ask for money, you know. But what is the mayor's committee, nutrition or the food committee or whatever council she said she's on? How are they addressing, the Vietnam veterans who are in the cities? Maybe the cities should take on responsibility for the Vietnam veterans in their cities because... statewide, you know, the Vietnam vets get lost, you know. So my question is, what's the mayor's committee doing for, you know, for that particular sector of the homeless or the hunger, the Vietnam veteran?
The Mayor's Council is a group that was appointed initially by Mayor Feinstein to come together and address food needs in San Francisco, identify what gaps there were in service in the city, and try to pull together all the various food providers, both emergency food providers and other sorts of food providers, so that by coming together we might be able to identify needs and expand resources. They have been meeting since 1984. And have successfully expanded a good number of federal programs and other programs in the city. One of them, for example, is the commodity distribution program for seniors. which was only available for pregnant women, but which is now available for seniors. The SHARE program is another one that the Mayor's Council brought into the city. I think the Vietnam veteran is definitely in a unique position in San Francisco, and it is an issue that the council hopes to address.
All right. Thank you, Tony. Judy and Tiburon, good evening. You're on Night Beat.
Well, hi. I was interested and happy to hear you talk about the WIC program. I'm an active member of Bread for the World, and I'm sure your guest is aware of that program. And
yeah,
we write a lot of letters to Congress people and senators, you know, supporting the WIC program and the World Immunization Bill. And I was really disappointed in the New York Times on Sunday to see that in 86 that Dan Quayle was one of only 17 senators to vote against consideration of an amendment to reauthorize programs for school lunch and funds for the Women, Infant, and Children program. And I can't imagine that, you know, that wouldn't get 100% vote in the Senate and the Congress because it's important.
Judy, I'm glad you brought that up. I think Dan Quayle has not been a friend to child nutrition programs and is one of the very, very few senators in Congress that has voted against both the WIC program and the school lunch program, which is clearly the oldest and most well-established and most respected food program that we have in this country.
You know, by the way, you mentioned that average of being about something like 40 cents a meal for food stamps. The national average is a bit higher than that, about 50 cents or so. Why is California giving out lower food stamp allotments than the national average?
Well, the average definitely varies depending on where you are.
Yeah, food's not any cheaper here for people.
Food, in fact, is more expensive here than it is in other places.
Okay, Judy, thanks a lot. We continue with Marianne Standish. They will take your calls. I've got an open line now. It's 800-228-5227. The hunger problem is something that a lot of us see every day. If you have been on that food stamp program, you still have some time to call. 800-228-KCBS. How did it work? Did you get enough to eat under the government allotment? Let us know tonight on the news station. 800-228-KCBS. Daniel Ellsberg will join me after 9 o'clock on Night Beat. Right now we're talking with Marianne Standish about the hunger problem in California, the Bay Area, and all over the country. Chris in San Francisco, South City, has a comment. Go ahead, Chris. You're on KCBS.
Yes, I just wanted to make this one comment about the food stamp program. I'm employed with a job that is 10 months of the year, so for 2 months I don't have any earnings. And last year I applied for the food stamps, which I got, but when I was sent down to pick them up at the Redemption Center, I forgot the authorization card, and I didn't know I needed it. And the girl there, she treated me so bad, I was almost humiliated. I said, next time, I'm never coming back. That's the only reason why I didn't go this year, because I find it too demeaning.
What was that? Do you have to fill out, what is it, a 12-page application?
It was almost like my life history. And you know, I didn't mind that so much, but I just felt really humiliated when the girls started screaming at me because I didn't have the authorization card for the food stamp, so I had to go all the way back to the place that I applied for down near the courthouse just to get the pink slip. But it was almost 5 and they closed at 5 and I had to run back and bust it, and I said, this year I'm not going through that again. So I'm just, you know, just wanted to make that comment about it being demeaning.
I think that Chris's experience is not unlike many people who try and oftentimes fail to successfully get on the food stamp program. Not only is it a difficult program to apply for, again, the application is very long and very complicated. You have to bring with you a lot of documentation, shreds of paper, evidence of a whole variety of things. And if you forget one piece of paper, your entire application is put on hold and you have to go through the process either all over again, or you have to go home and come back, which is oftentimes expensive bus fare and difficult for people who are already in a difficult situation. Then again, once you get on food stamps, you have to keep the food stamp office informed of every minor change in your situation. And if there is a change that takes place, you easily can be cut off the program, and then again, you have to reapply and go through the whole process.
How long does it run? I mean, isn't there a limitation on how long you go before you reapply?
you have to, depending on what county you are, you do have to recertify. One of the things that we did successfully in the California legislature last year, by the way, is improve the amount of time that it takes to get on the food stamp program if you are in an emergency situation. And if you are in an emergency situation, which means you have very little cash in your pocket, you can go into the food stamp office and get food stamps within 3 days, as opposed to 5 days, which is what the previous rules were. And if you're not in an emergency situation, obviously it will take at least 30 days. But if you are, and of course if you're listening to the show, ask the food stamp people for emergency food stamps and you will get them in 3 days.
All right.
Which can be of enormous help if you don't have any money.
Sure. All right. Thank you for making those comments, Chris. All right. What about those people who were going out to Golden Gate Park and getting a meal? Yes, we come back to square one here. We're getting a meal from this group. And as we know, the police put an end to it for various reasons. Breaking city laws, essentially, was at the root of it. Where can they go to get a meal now? Can they go somewhere out in that area? Does Haight-Ashbury have some kind of a
soup
kitchen?
Well, the Hamilton Methodist Church, which is right in the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood, is a very wonderful program that folks can participate in, and they are open, I think, Tuesday through Friday. The One Mind Temple, I believe, serves dinner on Mondays, and those are two other programs that are available. There are a number of other free meal programs throughout the city, and if you go to the Haight-Ashbury Soup Kitchen, they will give you the free eats chart, and that way you can keep informed of what programs are open and where they are.
And here's a reminder, too, that Marion is going to come back every couple months, give us an update on the situation. She'll bring some people who work in the soup kitchens, who volunteer, who run them, and some people who use them. But we'd like to put out the call, too, to folks in Contra Costa County, in Santa Clara, San Mateo, Alameda County, that let